Shake your hand,
but stay back. unclean. So this is completely new for me. I'm a people person, and I bounce humor off of facial expressions. So I basically have two pastors and my wife who's paid to laugh at every dad joke I say. So I am held completely responsible for anything that may slip out over the next... I only have 45 minutes? Man, that's not much time. I'll do the best I can. But yes, we are closed until April 1st. That is a Wednesday, and that is all tentative. We don't know if that's going to be resuming at that point or not. But that is, a reminder, Pastor Lewis and Mrs. Lewis's 25th wedding anniversary, and that is not a joke. I don't know who would get married on April 1st, but they did. And they made it through 25 years. So come on out to Hilltop Baptist Church Wednesday night, 7 p.m., unless that changes. Missions Conference, all that stuff in April is still planning on being, it's running. It's in the running. Hopefully you got a postcard from us. If you're watching this, you probably did get a postcard from us. And that is that. So like I said, I am a people person all around. I love people, and I love speaking to people. And what I do not like doing... is standing in front of a mirror, which is basically what I'm doing. Oh, so you know how they say when you're public speaking to imagine, never mind. But I'm just going to imagine that I see you all at home, and you can all now dive for your computers and smartphones and cover the little cameras on there, because I am watching. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Yeah, I have been over there at Hilltop Baptist Church. I don't know how many of you are going to be watching this from Hilltop. This might be the largest group I've ever preached to on a Sunday morning. It's also the only group I've ever preached to on a Sunday morning. So I don't preach to groups on Sunday morning. They keep me up with the kids upstairs because children are very forgiving. You can mispronounce things and call them wrong names and as long as you give them candy at the end, that's a blessing. They love it. You know, they look at you as Jesus giving bread and fish away. It's a wonderful thing. And adults are slightly less forgiving. Every time you preach something, you have somebody, some blessed brother, come up and say, you misquoted that. Or, you know what Paul said about that, right? Or I one time heard this preacher say, and thank you, brother, thank you. What a blessing that is. So that is why I'm preaching first thing in the morning, because that is probably when the crowd will be smallest. And it's safest. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm on 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's also a good book, but 1 Corinthians is where I'm at. All right, I have something here I want to start off with. This is an idea that I had. I have been going to Little Valley there, Grace Bible Baptist Church, for almost two school years now, and teaching piano lessons there to the kids there at the... It used to be a Christian school academy. Now it's a co-op. They had to change some words. Thank you, government, for that. And I've been going there to teach piano lessons, but when I go there every week, I also do chapel. And there's nothing I enjoy doing more than teaching children and teenagers, because, like I said, they're forgiving. Pastor Grimaldi would say they can take it. I just say they're forgiving. That is my thing. I think that is fantastic. They're always so thankful. And I brought an idea based on this to them about 2 weeks ago, and I thought it was pretty interesting. And as I was preaching to them, teaching them, more and more thoughts kept coming to my mind, and I have been thinking about it for about 2 weeks now, and hopefully you get something out of it. I hope you get something out of it. If not, you're forgiving, I hope. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want to start right off the bat. Justin says, I'm right there with you, bro. Thanks, brother. Thanks. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I thought that was really interesting. I believe this year Pastor Cole is really going through in depth walking with God. And I believe you've gotten 9 lessons now. Have you finished 9 lessons on walking with God? And I do keep up on those things. Oftentimes I'm not there to hear them, but I do keep up on them on the website, the live stream there. It's recorded, and then I can go back and I can watch or listen to previously done messages. But I think lesson 9 was the last one. And that is a wonderful thing, walking with God. Amen. That's great. I love that. And I know that we hear preaching all the time about walking with God and following God, and we have songs, I have decided to follow Jesus, and that's all real good. I really like that stuff. That's all true. We all know that's true. But that's why this caught my eye. This caught my eye because I'm reading, and this is Paul speaking, and you would think Paul would be somebody to say, you know, I have decided to follow Jesus. You should follow Jesus too. And he does. A couple times he does say, be followers of God, and stuff like that. But this caught my eye because Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I just thought that was an interesting phrase. Be followers of me. And I started to think about follow the leader. I started to think about people following me, the people I'm following, and started to think about some of the decisions they've made that have affected me and some of the decisions that I've made that affect my followers. And it just started to get me thinking a little bit that Paul, to some extent, was asking people to be followers of him. And that's kind of a big undertaking. If you're asking somebody to be a follower of you, you better be worth following. If you're not worth following, hopefully you don't ask anybody to be your follower. But you can go through the Bible, and the Bible will tell you a lot of things to follow. There are many things the Bible will tell you to follow. It'll tell you to follow after good works. It'll tell you to follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, follow patience, follow meekness, follow charity, follow peace, follow holiness. There are many things the Bible will tell you to follow. It'll also obviously tell you to follow God and all of those things. But besides all those things, Paul just said, follow him. It's really interesting. Really interesting. Now, those of you that are sitting back already going, oh boy, you're telling us to follow a man and not to follow God. I'm just saying, no, I'm not. I'm saying follow God, but there's something to this, and I want you to get the idea behind this. So don't misunderstand me and think that I'm telling you, well, maybe following God is too much and you should follow a priest or follow the Pope because they are more relatable. No. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow him. But you cannot but help, being a human being, you cannot but help follow somebody else along the way. You will have a father, you will have a boss, you will have a teacher, you will have somebody at some point that you are following, whether you are supposed to follow them because they are your father or your husband or your boss or whatever, or because you choose to follow them as a hero of yours in the sports realm or in the any of the entertainment realm, or maybe some great preacher from the past, or maybe a preacher that's alive today that maybe not necessarily you're supposed to be following, but you choose to follow his teaching and his preaching and his leadership because he's a wonderful man of God. But Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want to look at a few more verses here that are along the exact same line. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I hope I gave Brother Gorski there the right verses, otherwise he could be putting up all sorts of crazy things down there. Ever since Pastor Lewis came to Hilltop from the Philippines, I have a really hard time spelling Philippians and Philippines. They're very, very close. Very close. So I think I may have told him to go to the book of Philippines at some point in this message. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now, I can understand if Paul said maybe one time, you know, follow me, and that was that. But he says a couple times in the New Testament, you will find that Paul says, follow me or follow us or do what I'm doing. It's interesting. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. There it is, follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Verse 9, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Very interesting. Once again, here's a little snippet into maybe Paul's philosophy. He wanted everybody and pushed everybody towards Jesus Christ, but there were things he specifically did to be an example. Things he specifically did because he knew people were following him. And he could have done some things out of power. He could have done things for this reason or done things because he knew it was right or done things for this or this. But here's an example of Paul doing something. Why? because he did it to make himself an example. I thought that was interesting. Paul did something. That was one of his motivations. Not because he felt spiritual or felt that he should just do it, but because he was trying to be an example. People will put me at ease. So the more people there are, the more at ease I am. There's very few people in here right now, so I am. I'm going to lose my voice in a second. So follow us. It's said there twice. Follow us. Paul's saying follow us, and we're trying to be an example and sample to you. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Trying to get some scripture into your noggin, and then I'm going to try to make this practical, and then I'm going to wind you up and let you go. That's the plan. Philippians chapter 3, I have come to the conclusion that it is very difficult to judge a man's level of spirituality based on his looks at times, but you can get a real good indicator by the number of tassels he has and the length that they are. These ones just keep growing, you know. I don't know why. But yes, you want to see a spiritual man, find the man that has at least 36 of those tassels. You know you have come across a great man of God. That is, I am down to, I'm down to 6. But I've only been saved for 7 years, so there's room for growth. The book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Brethren and sisteren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." Verse 18. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." I finished it up there because it seemed weird to read one verse and leave those last two so encouraging things out. But go back to verse 17. Verse 17 there of chapter 3. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example." And then he goes on and talks about many that are walking, as he's told us often, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You can see that Paul seems to have this idea that as he is walking with God, people cannot help but follow him. People are following him, and many times, I would say there's more than a few, there's probably several times, he says specifically, "Be followers of me," or "followers of us." So if Paul is saying that, and these are the inspired words of God, there must be something to it. There must be something to this that, yeah, we cannot help but follow people. There are people that we follow, and we, to some extent, are leaders. Every single person is, to some extent, a leader. And that is very interesting. So, the Bible has examples of many, many different things. We know that it was written for our learning. And you can go through the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you will find examples of bravery and cowardice and pride and humility, faith and fear, fillers in the church, hospitality, hostility, selfishness, selflessness, envy, thanksgiving, wisdom, foolishness, love, lust. You can go through the Bible and you will find examples, human examples, of all those things. And the more I was thinking about this, the more I thought, we teach and we preach and we learn and we study about people that are in this Bible, and they are examples to us. We go through and we study up on the faith of Abraham. And we tell ourselves, we have an example of faith. This is what we should do. We go through and we have an example of giving. Somebody who had great hospitality in the New Testament, and they gave, and wow, what a wonderful servant they were, and that was their ministry. And we look through the Bible for examples, and we look for that as we follow their example. But as that's happening, we are also examples and can't help but be examples. We are being followed. Just like these people, which are no longer with us here on earth, we are following them. People are following us. people are following us. So I have here, no man, we know this, no man lives to himself or dies to himself. Everything that you do affects somebody. What you say is going to affect somebody. These people that are thinking that if they just commit suicide, that's going to fix all their problems and nobody's going to care. That creates ripples. That creates ripples that often go through generations of people. It affects neighbors, it affects friends, it affects many, many people, family members. It creates guilt, it creates a ton of stuff for the people that are left behind. And that's one of those things we hear all the time. I'm just going to go kill myself because I'm sick of, you know, living and blah, 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 all these different reasons. And people think that their life isn't really worth anything and nobody's going to miss them. But we know that's not true. So you don't live to yourself. You don't die to yourself. You are always affecting somebody. And with that in mind, turn to, well, you're already there, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. This is, I believe, my last scripture. I told Carly, I said, you know, I can talk to people for 2 or 3 hours with one verse. You know? But if I have no people, I said, I'm going to get through my message in 10 minutes. Pastor Cole's going to come up here and go, well, that's good, brother. Could you elaborate a little bit? Anyway, so Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 in verse 9. Those things which ye have both, note that word there, both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I was looking at that. I can count. Anybody else can count? I can count. Sometimes my counting is a little off, but I can count. And there's four things listed there. It says learned, received, heard, and seen. Now, did Paul mean to write both? I think he did. That was the word he meant to write, both. So I started to look at those four words a little bit, and I thought, you know what? Learned and received. I could come here, or Hilltop, or wherever, preach, teach, behind a pulpit, hand out stuff that I've studied up for years. And you would be taught from that, and you'd be receiving things from me. And that's my talk. But then you also have the walk, those things you've heard and seen. You see Paul off in the distance, and you know, I've been sitting under that Paul's teaching now for a couple of weeks. He's been visiting my church here. I've heard his preaching. I've received some interesting revelations from God that he gave to me, you know, all that. But I'm watching him right now, and he's communicating with that next door neighbor. And there's love there. And I'm hearing, and I'm seeing his behavior. And I'm both learning from him, but I'm also watching his walk. And you've all heard that about the walk talks and the talk, and the walk, talk, and the walk, you know, all that fun thing. That's it right here. Paul's walk and Paul's talk. He said, you've seen my talk, but you've also seen my walk. And then he says, those things do. Again, be a follower of him. I mean, follow the Lord. But he was an example, and he said many times, those things you've been watching from me, those things you've heard me saying, those things that I've taught you, do those things. Learned and received, heard and seen. So the title of this message was, follow my lead. I was going to call it the separated conga line, but that didn't seem too spiritual. So I'm not going to call it that because that would be an awful title to have on the website. Separated conga line. But the follow my lead seems much more spiritual and in-depth. So we'll call it follow my lead. But that's the idea there. Paul said multiple times, follow me, be followers of us. And then he said, those things that you have learned from me, those handouts, those lessons, those PowerPoints I've put up. They didn't have PowerPoints back then, but the things that I've been writing on the wall, the stuff I've been coming into your houses and instructing you from the Word of God, those things do. But then also you've seen my conversation, my deportment, my behavior. You've seen the way I communicate with people. Do those things too. Interesting. So, this is all the message here. It comes down to this. How's your example? People are following, whether you like it or not. And I'll tell you, some of them are older. Some of them are younger. And I have so many stories. I got a point here. I want you to write this down if you can. If you can't, that's great. That's something I would do. I'd go, I don't need to write that down. I'll remember that. But the overall point of the message is you're being followed, so watch it. Okay? Even if you don't think you are, you are. But I got something here. It says, follow the leader you want your followers to follow. I've got a few followers right now. Hello! And I've got a bunch of other followers over there at Hilltop Baptist Church. I love that place. I love those people. Some are younger, and many are older. And I need to be careful that the people that I'm following are people that I would want my followers to follow. If you can imagine that game that, well, I still play it sometimes with the kids, but follow the leader, right? And you always have that kid in the front, the moron, who starts off at first thinking it's cool because everyone's following him and he's the big wig and everything, you know. And then all of a sudden he starts doing more and more dumb stuff because his hope is that he can do something so dangerous and so stupid that nobody following him would dare to do. And it becomes a fun game to see how many kids following you can you get to jump off the table. How many kids that are following you can you get to slap themselves in the face? You know, all that kind of stuff. And those kids sometimes get pleasure out of that. But think about that. Life is a game of follow the leader. Now, the ultimate leader is Jesus Christ. That is true. But as we're walking with him and following his lead, we are also within a line. There are people in front of us, and there are people behind us. And I'll tell you, if you're walking forward and you're so focused on following Christ that you're not occasionally looking behind, you're going to lose sight of the people that are following you. You could forget about them. That's happened sometimes in some ministries where people get their eyes so focused on what they think is the will of God. And then sometimes, you know, there's kids behind you. Try playing follow the leader with a bunch of 10-year-olds and one 4-year-old. Everyone's going to think it's cute at first. Oh, the 4-year-old's following them. But after a while, those 10-year-olds are going to try to lose the 4-year-old because it's fun. It's exciting to see the 4-year-old get confused and lost. And pretty soon, the 4-year-old stops following somebody and starts trying to follow the very guy in the front. He doesn't even know what's going on anymore. Doesn't know what's going on. I have played follow the leader, and I remember playing it with a group that wasn't like 4 or 5. I've played it with groups of 30, 40, 50 people. And that's fun. That's fun. And the way that you maintain that game, you focus on the person in front of you, not the person 2 people in front or 3 people in front. You focus on the person right in front of you, but you keep in mind that you're being followed. And if you do that, you're never going to lose that person, but you slow down at times, and every now and then you think, is there a safer way to climb over this chair? Is there a safer way to run across the road here? And you start to kind of keep an eye on the people that are following you while continuing to follow your example, follow your leader. And the moment you decide you're not going to follow that guy, you're going to do your own thing, is the moment that you veer off and the people behind you might follow you because they're following the person in front of them. Now, maybe they'll realize that guy's got a cramp and they'll go back to play and follow the leader, pressing on again. But sometimes you get a leader in a church following Jesus Christ, and that leader goes off somewhere. Boom. And you get to watch a whole church go, boom, right with them. Because many of them don't go, oh, wait a minute. He's got a cramp. He needs to be out for a bit. I'm going to keep following Jesus. That's the end game there. Many of them follow. That pastor, that leader, that person in authority is being followed there. So think about that. Think about that game of follow the leader. Follow the leader you want your followers to follow. If you drop out or something, you would want your followers to follow the leader that is leading you. I remember when I was a bit younger, when I was a young warthog. I'm not that old. Thank you, Pastor Seth. Thank you. I have some brothers, and I'll tell them. So Carly and I are expecting to remain in this area for a long time. So if any of you are thinking we're going to leave, we're going to be here for a while. I was going to pull that one at the beginning, but I forgot. So, drats! Okay. But I had cool older brothers, and I know some of you had older siblings, and they're cool, right? They're the ones that get the car before you, right? Awesome. They're the ones that all of a sudden they start getting their hairs cut at the salon, right? Or the barber. Your hair's still cut by mom, but they went and got their hair done up right, you know? They started to buy their own clothes, wear their own fashions. They came back wearing that belt that looked like it was studded silver, and you're thinking, oh, cool. That's awesome. Right? We've had older siblings. You're following them. When you're younger, you're following them. And I had older siblings. I had one particular brother. I still have him. He's alive. And he loved to speed. When he was driving, he loved to speed. He'd step on that gas pedal, and it was fun. It was a thrill. It was a thrill. Those backcountry roads, 55 miles an hour, hitting 95 miles an hour. That was exciting. And I remember being of driving age, 15, 16, and thinking, hi, Bree. and thinking, well, he's speeding. He seems to be able to spot the officers down the road. I mean, I know it says 55, but who follows the speed limit anyways? You know, and I remember when I first started to, thanks guys. When I first started to drive, I remember I would drive a few miles an hour over the speed limit. And that became inconvenient after a while. And I thought, you know, 56, 57's lame. My older brother goes 80, 85. And I remember one time in particular, I was a little bit late for my college courses. I think I was 17 at the time. And there was one particular straightaway. I don't know why it was 55. I don't know who we have to thank for that. But it should have been at least 75. It was straight. I mean, there weren't schools or anything. I was going about 70-something, trying to get to school. And I got lit up. I got busted. I got pulled over. And I remember the officer came up and the whole, you know, I pulled you over. It's like, I was booking it. Yeah, you know how fast you were going? As fast as you were going when you caught me. That was about as fast as I was going. But that was an example. I followed my older brother's example. Now, did he necessarily think when he was driving me around at 80 miles an hour in his X-Earth, his X-Stera, that thing was awesome, his Nissan, that was amazing. No, he didn't. He just thought he was just driving around. But that's a simple little example of, I was following him, I thought that was cool, and one day I thought I'd try that, it didn't end up so cool. Right? I don't know if he necessarily knew that I was following him. I got some light ideas here, and then I have some more heavy ideas. I'm just trying to give you some thoughts. Some of you have siblings, some of you, hey, you are old, you know, you don't have siblings following your speed limits anymore. You're in a wheelchairs and things. Anyways, I got one here. I wrote down music. I had another brother, that loved, some more contemporary Christian music. Now, the house that I grew up in, that was music of the devil. You know, Jesus, I love him. Yeah, that was wickedness. And my dad, he had the uncanny ability of being able to hear that no matter where he was when he was home. We could have a radio on in our living room, all the windows closed, the doors closed, and he'd be out in the back garden somewhere. And it just seemed that the Holy Spirit prompted him to go in and get some water at a certain time. And he'd come in the door and, I love Jesus. You know, and he'd fly off the handle. You know, what is that wicked stuff doing? He would die for the radio and turn it off because that wasn't right. And we had a couple of programs that we would listen to, children's programs. And right after the children's programs were over, Adventures in Odyssey, The Pond, Floyd, Donuts. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you know. When that was over, some of this music would come on. And I remember sometimes we were cleaning and we weren't paying any attention, but my dad was paying attention. And he would jump for that stuff and he'd shut it off. And I will admit, there were many times you'd want to push his buttons on purpose and we'd turn every radio on in the house, crank it up and then hide. And wait for him to come in and see his reaction. And he never fell for it. He just turned them off and muttered something about foolish children or something like that. But he never really got seriously angry about that. Man, next time. But my brother, he used to listen to that stuff, and it became normal. He had CDs. Remember those CDs? I know. And he had a CD player in his car. Mm-hmm. And he had so many CDs, he had one of those... Zip, zip, zip. You know what I'm talking about, right? And you're like, where's that CD? Where's that CD? And he would, he'd want to listen to some of that music that was so spiritual and sung about Jesus, or that very ambiguous, I love him, I love spending time with him, he makes me feel so wonderful, I love him, which could be your boyfriend, your dog, or Jesus. And, he's flipping through this, and, you know, flipping through, and you get to the end, and you go, there's 72 CDs here, didn't find the one I was looking for, and then you remembered, oh, yeah, you have more than 72, you start doubling and tripling up, so you flip back to the beginning, and you start looking for the doubles, and, oh, there it is, stick it in, and, oh, number three, you know, all that. And I remember thinking, well, my dad doesn't let us listen to this stuff, but my brother's listening to it, can't be that bad. He's kind of spiritual, he talks about God often, and he does a lot of... I looked up to him. I followed him. I was following his example. We can't help it. We're going to follow somebody. And I remember when I got a little bit older and I started driving myself around and starting to get speeding tickets and stuff like that. Just doing my own thing, it was pretty easy for me to turn the radio on and start listening to that stuff. Dad wasn't around, and the older brother did it, and he seemed to have a real good walk with God, so it didn't really affect him. But I'll tell you honestly, I listened to that stuff, I don't know how long, a couple years maybe, a year or so. And I noticed that these dumb commercials came on. You think like worldly commercials are dumb? Christian commercials on Christian stations are dumb. And I remember thinking, this is dumb. And I remember flipping the station and trying to find something that would have music while I'm cruising in my 1994 Oldsmobile. It was gray. I called it the Prayermobile. I loved that vehicle. It was nice. And I started listening to the world's music. It was two clicks away. It was two clicks away. And it sounded just like the contemporary rock Christian music I was listening to, except for it was more clever, and the words were more fun, and it was more catchy. So it was like Christian contemporary rock music is just rock music done poorly. So I just thought, you know what, this is more fun, this is more cool, I'll listen to this. I started listening to that, and that kind of led down to some other stuff, but the point with that one was music. I had a brother that he might have... thought at one point, my dad says this music is not acceptable, but it's not bothering me. I'm going to keep listening to it. He had no idea that his little brother was also listening to it going, it's not affecting him. Whatever. It caused some problems later on. Occasionally I'll hear a song in a store and like I might know a couple of words and I'm like, Carly, this is before I knew Jesus. Forgive me. occasionally it will happen. So I have here, follow the leader you want your followers to follow. I have also here, number two of points, if you're writing them down or thinking about them. Follow the leader that knows he's being followed. If you have a leader who doesn't know he's being followed, he might do a number of things. You never know. You never know. I feel like a lot of adults tell kids, I'm smoking right now. But don't you smoke. And they have an idea that the kids are going to listen to them and relatives and neighbors' kids and their school's friend kids. And none of those people are following them. They don't know they're being followed. They do not know they're being followed. So follow a leader that knows he's being followed or she is being followed. Because if you do, if you imagine that line again of follow the leader, if the person in front of you knows they're being followed, there's some accountability there. There's some accountability of, I'm following my Lord Jesus, but that looks so tempting over there. And then you glance over your shoulder and go, man, my kids, my wife, people in the church, can't. Like I read a little bit earlier, one of Paul's reasonings, he didn't say, I'm doing this stuff to prove my spirituality. I'm doing this stuff. He said, I'm doing it to be an example. That was motivation for Paul at one point. I'm just doing this to be an example to you. I don't need to do it, but I am doing it. So follow the leader that knows he's being followed. When I was also younger, my grandfather, who is now gone on, I believe he's in heaven. That is a wonderful answer to prayer. But my grandfather was really into hunting. He loved hunting. He was a, moose hunter, bear hunter, elk hunter, all the big hunting. He went on those giant fishing trips where he'd be gone for weeks, you know, all that stuff. And then he got a little bit older and started to settle down, and he would go hunting every year during turkey season and deer season, and that was a big deal to him. Very big deal. And I remember growing up with my grandfather quite a bit, and some of the things that we went through together, and we had a good time. And I remember almost every year there was a fight between him and my dad, because hunting season always seemed to interfere with Sundays. My goodness, who did that? And I remember my grandfather saying, you know, how about we go hunting tomorrow? And then I'd say, well, tomorrow's Sunday. We can't go hunting tomorrow. Tomorrow's church. And him, you know, well, can't you just skip a day or two? You know, what's the big deal about that? And I remember being 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, in those years, and getting pulled into hunting was cool, hunting was awesome, and all things camouflage, that's where it's at, camo this, camo that, shotguns are awesome, I love rifles. You dreamed about the day that you could hunt deer with a rifle in Wayne County, which now you can, of course, legalized as soon as Grandpa died. the irony. But I remember that, and that was something that doesn't really interest me too much anymore. But I wonder how many people have a grandfather or a father who's super into hunting, and they watch their dad or their grandpa skipping church, skipping meetings, skipping the important things at home for hunting, and then they get older and do the same thing. Gonna follow somebody. Growing up, I had a super quiet home. There was never yelling. I mean, we had a lot of noise, but it was cheerful noise. It was music. It was fun. It was games. It was a good time. We did not have a yelling home. That's something that I followed, and I'm going to try to have the same thing in my home. I'm going to have kids there at some point in the future, and we are not going to have a screaming and yelling home. And I'll tell you right now, I know that we don't have children at home, and every now and then we have a discussion, something that was unforeseen before we got hitched. We've been married for 6 glorious months. It's been amazing. But something comes up, and I've told Carly multiple times when we're solving things, because you can solve the problem, but it's also how you solve the problem. Because you can fix it. But then you set up something for, well, in the future, when this happens again, how are we going to fix it in the future? And I've said multiple times, we're setting a pattern. I probably say it every week. We're setting a pattern. We are setting a pattern because at some point, we are going to have children in our home. And I know they're going to be following mom and dad's pattern. Example, leadership. And I want them to know that it's a quiet home, it's a loving home, a forgiving home. And that's something that we're doing now because at some point, we will have leaders. There was a time this past week that I said to Carly, I don't want to do this particular thing at church. Do not. But I'm going to go. Because I know people will be there that are following me. And if I don't go, I don't necessarily know if they'll follow me that way or if they'll have the spiritual discernment to go, I'm still following Jesus. I don't know. So to be an example, which is one of Paul's motivations, to be an example, I'm just going to do it. People are following me. I got a third point here. Be the leader. So those are about following. The first two are about following. Number three, be the leader God would want you to follow. Man, be the leader God would want you to follow. At some point, you're going to be following somebody. Somebody is following you. Your reaction to your coworker that is obnoxious and you want to punch him out, that's an example. You might have children that follow. That younger guy that just is super, super irritating, want to beat him, take him out when no one's looking. Someone's looking. Somebody's looking. Somebody's following. Your language, your response, somebody's following. Be an example. Remember that you are an example. I think of Solomon. When Paul said those things that you've both learned and received and heard and seen, I think Solomon did a great job with his kids about the learning and receiving part, but the hurting and seeing part, they saw their dad, Solomon. They go, I know, Dad, you wrote all those Proverbs. I know this is what you're telling us.
But you're not doing it.
And you start getting into the history of Israel, it gets real messy right after that. Right after one guy spent his life saying, well, let me teach you. Let me give you some stuff that I got from God. Here's some wisdom. Here's some good stuff. But didn't live it himself. You end up with a split country. Entire future of the Bible kind of altered because of that. Because of somebody that was not thinking of both those things do. I think Solomon honestly would have said, just do those things that you've learned and received of me. But Solomon honestly couldn't say, do those things that you both have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do those things. I just got last point here. Just be the leader that knows you'll be followed after you're gone. How many of us know somebody that's passed on and we are modeling our lives after their example? We know somebody. We know a pastor. We know a leader. We know a public figure. We know a historical figure, somebody that's gone. And we are just following their courage, following their level of spirituality, following their walk with God, following their blueprint, their pattern for how they got to walk with God in such an extent. What did they do in the morning? How did they walk with God during? We follow Daniel praying 3 times a day. There's a little blueprint there. There's so many people that we look at, we follow their blueprint. So be the leader that knows you'll be followed after you're gone. After we die, we're still going to have people following us. And if we led a life of, it wasn't good. After we die, we're going to have our kids, our grandkids, our neighbors. There's people that are going to follow that example. I saw him do it. I heard her say that. And it's going to continue for years and years and years. And you can go through the Old Testament. You can see that. You can see one father that did a great job with his kids, it would seem. And then the kids fall apart. And then their kids are great, and then their kids fall apart, and then their kids are great, and their kids fall apart. And you wonder along the way how much of them were receiving and teaching versus hearing and saying, and how much were grandparents getting in there and messing stuff up there, and where was the real leadership? Where was the real following? Where was it? And I think we see this in some of our churches today where there's some truth, but oftentimes the parents say to their kids, those things that you've learned and received, do. And the kid's thinking, but what about the hearing and the seeing? The kids are following. You have people following you. Lastly, I have a little brother too, and I'll say for years, before I was even saved, he bugged me. Man, did he irritate me. And the thing that irritated me, there were a couple things, but he was a goody two shoes. Oh, man, such a goody two shoes. Anytime we'd get a fight over something, anything. He'd be the one lying in bed at night. I'm sitting there just going to sleep with my little sinful state. And I would hear across the room, Cal, what? I'm sorry that I, X, Y, or Z, blah, 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 blah. Will you forgive me? No. Thank you. I spent years doing that. And I got right with him, got right with God, later with that. But I always looked up to how quick he was to forgive, how quick he was to seek apology. That was something I always looked up to, and he was younger. He always pulled his Bible out, and this is, I thought I was saved at the time, I wasn't, but he always seemed to find time to read his Bible and pray. And I remember thinking, wow, isn't he so spiritual, pulling his Bible out, reading his Bible? And it's something I looked up to, though, that he found the time to do that, 2 years younger than I was. And I looked up to that. And that's what I've been thinking about for 2 weeks now. I got a lot of younger people following me, but I got a lot of older people following me. I have people in their 60s, 70s, 80s following me. That's scary. Because I don't have the experience. All I've got is the Word of God and all that experience. But I'm hoping that when I do trip a little bit and go over here, that I'm remembering that I've got followers, and I'm praying that they have the discernment at that point to not trip with me, but to keep following Jesus until I get back in line. At that point, I might climb in behind them and start following them. But be a follower and be a leader. And follow my lead. Think about that. Think about it. And that's all I have for today. Let me close in prayer, and then you got like 2 minutes. And then Pastor Cole is going to come up here and It's like, well, brother, that was interesting. You got to correct all that. That's closing for Heavenly Father. A simple idea this morning. Follow my lead. There are people all around us that are following us. And as Paul said, those things that we've both learned and received and seen and heard, do those things. Could we honestly say that about the people that are behind us? Could we honestly turn around and say to the young people behind us, to the older people behind us, to the married people behind us, our coworkers, our neighbors, could we honestly turn to them and say, hey, you, listen, I want you to follow my lead. Do what I'm doing. It's going to be okay. I'm following Jesus, and if you follow me, things are going to be okay. Father, would you help us to follow you more closely, stay closer to you, keep our eyes focused on you, but to remember always that we are being followed. We ask for your help in this situation now here in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.